Welcome to the Repcon 2016 report. I was able to get there late on the very late on the Saturday night after doing a gig in Norfolk, long drive up the A1 on a very quiet bank holiday weekend. Okay, the basis, the Repcon 2016 event was the first of its kind for the organisers, and it was in Bury, North Manchester. Now that means it's really easy to get to, folks. It involves basically getting on a train or the car, and the important thing is it's beside the tram. Manchester has a really good tram system, and it's right beside the Premier Inn, and that's where the speakers were staying. A very crowded weekend it was, bank holiday weekend. And the actual event was in the beautiful Fusiliers Museum, which is a beautiful venue, lots of pubs, nightclubs and things, ideal for a conference, very well organised, good people. Very nice venue. The people who spoke was Ellis Taylor, who opened. James Bartley, I think James is actually staying in this country, I'm not sure. James Bartley, very good indeed. Ellis, excellent. And Simon Parks delivered a very, very astute presentation once again. And he was going to be speaking at my conference in August, but unfortunately that isn't possible. Frank Willis. Now, Frank is a soldier, and he was able to explain how during Vietnam he mentioned something about cloned soldiers in the Vietnam War. So this was a very forward-thinking, very groundbreaking event, lots of new information which we do need to get hold of, folks. So this is my brief report, which features a short interview with Simon Parks outside the hotel the next day on the Monday. And thanks to all concerned, they'll be having another event in November, I understand. And good luck to them. And let's over to a brief report on the Repcon 2016. Simon Parks first came to the public notice through the Amash project, which I recorded at its opening event in Nottingham way back in 2011. Simon spoke about reptilians and his mother being a mantid ET. We then interviewed him with Joanne Summerscales in his home in Whitby in North Yorkshire, where he gave a 4-hour interview. The first 3 hours was with Joanne, and then the third part of that was joined by Winston Keach, where they mentioned how they were able to get access into each other's minds, and they joked about how Simon and Wynne were able to put up a firewall to stop mind invasion by unwanted individuals. The fourth part of that interview was conducted the next day, where Simon did a regression with Joanne, who Simon later said, about a year or so later, he later told me that Joanne invaded his mind about 45 minutes in. This is one of the first indications that there were some various nefarious actions in place and another agenda by Joanne at the time. Now, Joanne's relaunched herself as the ET newsroom in 2016. And we give her good luck to that, if that's what she sticks to. Looking very glamorous and looking very well indeed.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. I know you've come from various places and we'll hear about that in a minute. But this is a really special event. And I hope the first of many more to come. Just want to say a little bit on housekeeping. The loos are just out there to the back, and so is the door. If we need to get... I'm not going to do my fair stewardess bit. But we'll be having tea and coffee soon.
While you're saying that, I just want to do a final check on a check on a check.
Okay, check on a check on a check. Good Lord.
Hi, hello. My name is Simon. I'm 51 years of age. I've been around these creatures for 51 years of my life, or rather these creatures have been around me. I didn't go seeking them, they came to find me. I don't know whether it's something that's run in the family. My mother used to work for MI5, and she worked on documents that dealt with craft that had been downed. Whether she had any contact or not, I really don't know. I've had two memories that have always been with me. One was in 1971, when I was 11 and a half years old. And I call that the day that changed my life. The memory that I always had, I can remember the UFO, and I can be remembered going up into the ship. But it was only the last 8 to 9 months that I've got my memories back. And I haven't had regression. I haven't got them back through dreams. It literally comes back through something I'll do at home. If I look out the window and see something, or I'll hear something and it'll spark it, and I'll go down and I'll write down and draw down very quickly what I've remembered. I've always considered up to November 2010 that I was an abductee. But end of November, I got a memory back where I actually made a bargain with them. I actually made an agreement. So from that moment onwards, I don't consider myself an abductee. I consider myself a contactee. And one of the other memories I had, I was 3.5 years old. And a creature which I've always called my smoke man, and understand is actually called a shadow being, just literally walks right through the wall. Not a very nice thing to do to a 3.5 year old. But since then, I've had something like 500 separate memories that have come back. And I've left my memory book at home. Sorry, Dave. Well, I've documented all my memories and my drawings. So it's something that I've learnt to live with. I've come through the very dark tunnel when you suddenly realise that something's going to come and get you. I don't know if anybody's read any books of Whitley Schreiber, but in the book, Schreiber talks about how he looks through wardrobes and he opens drawers, he looks under the bed. Now, I never had that, but during the time that I became self-aware, I was literally going and locking the front door 5 or 6 times, but I didn't know why I was doing it. Or if I want to go to the loo at night, I used to run from the bed to the loo and run back again because something was going to get me, but I didn't know what it was. But because the memories I've had have been largely positive, because I haven't been badly treated by them, I'm in a position where I feel that I'm able to talk and I can be quite strong about it. I have met people who do not have such interesting and pleasant memories, and for them it's much harder to speak. You go to the bookshelves, you know, you buy a UFO book, everyone's an ambassador, aren't they, or this, that and the other, and you think, well, it's brilliant. But there are an awful lot of people who don't have good experiences, and they're not going to write books about it.
Can I just ask the type of beings you had interaction with, how you would describe them, or whether there was just one type or whether there were several?
It was Dave Odrin who actually told me the name for the creatures. I described them to him. In England, they're called mantid. In America, they're called mantis. And Mary Rodwell at the ASERN Institute in Australia calls them manta. And I see all three sorts of mantid: the doctors, the pilots, and the masters with the purple cloaks. Tall greys, the little greys, the two sorts of little grey, the original race of little grey, and then the little grey that's half biological and half computer. Reptilians, mostly the soldier types, they're the ones with the blacky green skin. Some crystal beings at very high density, high resolution, a whole range of creatures. But it is the mantids that come and get me. It's the mantids that hold my hand. It's the mantids that will sit and have conversations with me. When I first started my memories back, I would just get snippets of memory and snippets of conversation, but now I can recount whole sections of conversation. And it's very clear now what I'm supposed to do. I think everybody who's an abductee or a contactee thinks, well, why me? Well, what is it about? And some people never get the answer. I'm very fortunate they've made it clear to me what it's about. So because I've not been abused, I should think most people have been on the operating table, but that's not gratuitous violence. That's them just doing what they need to do. That's not designed to hurt me. But I haven't been hurt outside of that.
Have they communicated at all about this testing, this table, biological testing, and what that is to do with?
Well, yes, but what they've told me, first of all, they're looking for pollutants in my body to see how I've been affected by the changes in the atmosphere. Also, if there are diseases, they'll cure them, because they've told me that they're going to keep my body healthy. But I'm sure others will talk about it. It's all about the genetics. It's all about the DNA. That's what they're really interested in.
So are they interested in that as for the betterment of humanity, or are they creating another race? Are they, that we hear happens, hybrids, term frequently used? Is that in your awareness?
I can only tell you that the faction of extraterrestrials that deals with me, I know for a fact from what they've said, there are different groups all signed up to different factions. And each faction will have its own way of doing it, but they've all signed up to the same agenda. Yes, I mean, I've had it explained to me in terms of, I don't like the word hybrid because it's a nasty, dirty word for a wonderful piece of life. But yes, I think that is the whole crux of the matter.
So is that, in essence, then their agenda, or is that a different element altogether, if you see what I mean?
Well, you could ask 100 people, and I'm sure they could all give you different agendas. My own take on it is that is absolutely the agenda.
The agenda for the bettering of the human form.
No.
Am I right on that? No?
No.
Sorry,
Kate. Right, this is not your Earth. This is not your Earth. It never was, and it never will be. Mm-hmm. These bodies that we have here, these are not for a process of evolution, Charles Darwin and his beagle and the rest of it. Extraterrestrials can't survive in this dimension for very long, because we're a low dimension, third, 3.3. We've got time as well, I suppose. But a hybrid body, which is part from the Earth, an extraterrestrial body, can survive. And it's about the souls. It's about what you put into those bodies. Extraterrestrials want to learn to experience again. They have very little feelings. Not all of them. Some of them have feelings and sensations, but most don't have very well developed. They've lost them. So if they can come to Earth, they can survive on Earth in what you call a hybrid body. But there won't be an invasion. The spaceships aren't going to land. The human race has got to evolve, develop, and move on. And I know this might go on YouTube, so I'll actually make a plea to all what I call the shepherds. Those are the people out there whose job will be to help humankind evolve. Get them off the planet. Get them off, move them off quickly, because you're holding up the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that was a dramatic note to finish on.
Shall I pass across?
Yes, would you mind?
So I was able to get a very short interview with him the next morning, and this is that interview where he gives an update on his status and situations which are happening currently in 2016. Okay. Okay, Simon, welcome to RepCon 2016, the very first one. What do you think about the conference, etc.?
Hello, Miles. It's lovely to see you and chat to you again. I thought it was a really good conference. First time Chris has put it on, attracted a full house, some great speakers, and good energy. So
it's
I
a
hope
very
it
good venue more. Here.
It is, yeah.
The Fusiliers Museum.
Good for parking.
Do you think having a conference like this at the Fusiliers Museum is a code from the establishment that this is the right kind of thing to talk about now?
I think what it does do is it focuses your mind on the war. The Fusiliers is a museum honouring brave men and women, but we must always understand that many people give their lives for a cause which doesn't actually benefit them.
I think we did have a soldier at the end, an ex-soldier, who mentioned that.
Yes.
What do you think we're dealing with then in terms of this war, the actual war?
We're fighting for the very survival of humanity, for the ability for humans to be what they always should be, to break free. And maybe we have a cosmos here in the sense that we have the museum dealing with the past, the dark energy, the death, and yet we have speakers talking about the positive future. So it's making a choice to leave the old ways and to embrace the new ways.
Huge message there. How do people who are in a desolate state, I mean, I've had messages from people this morning, very heavily targeted people, suffering a lot from this kind of targeting. There's basically two types of there's the abusive covert technology people who believe it's all a sort of a human-derived abusive technology, because they can't make the leap to the alien side, and then we've got the alien side, people who've made that leap. How do you, those targeted, suffering people, how do you think they can deal with that?
Well, first of all, it may seem very glib, but it doesn't actually matter whether it's humans or aliens, because what they're doing is wrong. So that's the first element to come from. What they're doing is wrong, and they have no right to do that. But from a technical perspective, what we need to know is whether it's humans and aliens, or humans on their own, or just aliens, because that dictates the technology they're using. And then we need to understand their agenda, why they're picking on that individual, what are they seeking to do. So by working with an individual, I or someone else would be able to find out what was going on in their case, and then give them some methods to protect themselves and defend themselves.
Are there any first aid kind of methods that you could mention that would help an individual?
No, simply because to do so would be to alert people how I help people, and that's not going to happen. But there is a sticking plaster, there is an immediate first aid that would buy a week's worth of protection or grace, and then that can be followed up with something.
Okay, you don't want to say that.
I can say that, but I'm not going to say what it is.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Fine. This is very, very important, because obviously there's a point of giving away secrets because nobody else is listening. We are here in Bury, and we're right beside the tram station.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
But the main thing is that maybe ahead next year, it's dead easy to get to. You just take the train to Piccadilly Station here in Manchester, take the tram up here, we've got the hotel, and then right beside the hotel is the pub, sorry, is the venue. But it's a great place, wonderful energy. Right, the Hadron, at the UFO Academy, you made a statement, you made a speech about the Hadron Collider.
Yes.
And there was the Daily Express there, and other newspapers were there, and that went public.
Yes.
So that's in the public domain.
Yeah.
Now, I've been talking to another guy called Dan McBolan, and his team from the States, who were doing it, vectoring in on the Hadron Collider. I don't think I'm saying anything that's not known, but you have a team that targeted that. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk generally about it.
Yeah.
2 years ago, it came to my attention that somebody was attempting to ride the natural energetic wave of the Earth. If you can imagine a surfboard rider who's on the top of a big wave. So one of the objects of the Hadron Collider was to boost the energy. I'm going to use my hand here. If the Earth's energy is like this, they were going to use it to propel upwards. So on the upswing of the sine wave of the Earth, force it upwards to penetrate into the fourth dimension, to open a portal, and to try and establish some form of communication to bring things in. That was just one of the things they wanted. Now, that, of all the things that they had planned for CERN, in my opinion, was the greatest threat to the ascension, if I can use that loose term, the ascension of humanity. So that was something that I felt needed to be looked at. And I will say that not internally to the Hadron Collider, but externally to the collider, there were black magicians who were remote viewing to protect the installation. There were remote viewers. And there were three diversions that were caused. And so these remote viewers couldn't be everywhere at once. So there were three separate... and the evidence is there, because on their own website, they show that the machine shut down 5 minutes after the worldwide group meditation.
The basic essence of the Hadron Collider is not the collision of the particles, it's the counter-rotating magnetic field energies.
Yes.
Which is fundamental to what the Germans are doing with the Nazi Bell in the 1930s.
Yes.
And that creates some kind of scalar field, which then can pulse using the Earth's magnetic field and then all the energetics of the solar system. Is that a very crude technical?
I think what we would add into the mix here is that what's actually buried at CERN, the alien artifact that is originally buried there, and that's why the CERN collider, although there's geological reasons why it was based there. That's why Shiva, the god, is based outside. There's a big statue of Shiva outside. Chaos, god of chaos. The Nazis were working on a offshoot of Palladian technology, which we could also mix with the Aldebaran group, And so the Glocker was a primitive form,
almost
like mercury swimming round a flask.
Yes.
But what we have here is much more of a non-liquid energy. The difficulty for it is that there is an entity that has probably entered that device and is living quite happily within it and is causing those who control it some problems.
Now, they've recently asked for artists.
Yes.
The random artistic mindset or the creative mind. Because I understand that a lot of the people in the historically previous versions of the Hadron, because this is a multi-generational technology.
It is, yes.
A lot of the administrators and people at top levels died earlier, but they had their heart and their mental heart psyche was collapsed.
When you're dealing with a creational force, then you need not just scientists, but you need people with creational ability around you. And so sometimes somebody will remote view or they will use astral projection, and then they need an artist to demonstrate on a CAD or on a just traditional paper what they're seeing. Some things will not be photographed, some things just cannot be captured, but the human consciousness can capture that, and then a good old-fashioned man or woman with crayons or will draw it, and then that can be oil painted and then rendered and then maybe models made of that.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to do, because there's no technology digitally that is capturing this information,
which is a problem for these creatures, because they want total hive mind control of a pathological demand for controlling every thought. So this is a dilemma for them.
Well, it's what their whole object is, to bring everything under an enslavement, just like an ant's nest. And of course, humanity is indomitable and doesn't work to those rules, and they're being frustrated at every turn.
Five things you want to say.
Five. Well, normally it would be three or six. Well, first of all, I must say about the conference, I know we've introduced on that, but it was a great privilege to speak. Thank you, Chris, for giving me the 2 hours. Some really lovely questions from the audience. It shows that people are awake.
A very awake audience.
Yeah. What is traditional here, I think, is that the north of England seems to have the jump start on the south.
Yeah.
Whether that's because community spirit is stronger here, whether it's because it's just tougher here, I don't know. But you find lots of venues in the north and very few in the south. Miles, it could just be it's so damned expensive to get a venue in the south.
Well, that's been my personal problem for the lost anyway. Yeah.
So that's that. I think that's fair that we talk about that. For me, what's very important is the situation that's just around the corner for us. Do predict a bit of an economic situation fairly soon. I think that the Americans could well go to a silver-backed currency. I did mention that in the conference. They have the historical history here for the 1880s with the silver dollar. The Americans for the last 15 years have been stockpiling silver. They have enough now to produce a silver-backed currency, literally coins, as they did. We know the Chinese now have one third of the gold of the world now in China.
And do they own Britain?
Well, they certainly own things like toll bridges and ports, and certainly huge amounts of high-end property in central London. But they don't own Britain, but they certainly have a say in financial institutions. So I would just say to people, be aware that there is a situation economically occurring, and I've given the target date for October, November of this year, where you may see a bit of a difficult situation. And of course we have the presidential election in November, and what I'd go on to say is that the old school is Hillary Clinton, which is basically steady as she goes. We've pulled the wool over your eyes.
Well, I've seen her change. She's definitely thrown a few extra things in it.
She's had to, because she's been told that she has no chance of winning against Trump unless she broadens her appeal.
And both are talking UFOs.
Yes,
Steve Bassett mentioned this. There's a lot of press on this.
Yeah, but you see, this is exactly what Obama did just before Obama was elected. Unfortunately, lots of good-minded people suddenly said, hallelujah, vote Obama because he's going to disclose the UFOs. Now, he may well have wanted to do, but as in all these cases, Miles, they get into office and they're told, you can't do that, and if you try and do it, you'll end up like Kennedy. So it doesn't mean they're bad people, it just means that they have good intentions, but they're not strong enough to force them through.
It's out of their pay grade.
Yes, and it's out of their knowledge as well. I honestly think that Trump has a very good chance of winning the presidency, and I predict if he does, within 3 months there will be a number of states in America who will get close to wanting to leave the Union, and I predict California and Texas.
What about thermal issues around the Gulf of Mexico and lava things and the effects of this Planet X gravitational wave?
I've always been very cautious about Aldeic or Planet X or anything like that. I do believe that there is an object out there, but I am not convinced that it is Planet X. But I do believe that something is being projected and there is something behind the projection. And I think that the Vatican has quite a lot to do with the manipulation of it.
Also, I'm sure you're aware of former British agent Peter Padgett has made some statements that the whole UFO thing's real, and he's, I think, floating an awful lot of new information. Many in the UFO community may be aware of it already, but it's based on the fact that all UFO people are basically wackos. But when you deal with somebody with the kind of level of clearance that Padgett has got, and I know he'll be making further statements in the summer, what do you feel?
I think he's been sanctioned to do that. I've always said, and I know, Miles, you personally believe in this, that the elite are at war with themselves. There are half of a group who want the truth to come out, and there's another half that don't. And for 3 months or 6 months of the year, one group is in ascension, and then the other group drags it back, and so the pendulum swings. At the moment, the group that wants a little bit more information out there is in the ascendancy. There's no doubt about that. So people have got to go public while that energy is still positive.
You want to say further?
Just basically that if everyone stays strong, because I'm expecting the internet to come down fairly soon, I'm expecting the mobile phone and cell net to come down, Facebook. What people don't really know is that CNN, the big American media corporation, have made three attempts to buy the BBC. They weren't successful last time.
I've heard that, definitely.
Yeah.
At least BBC World.
Yeah, they wanted World News, because what they want is to shut everything down so you have one news company in North America broadcasting to Australia, Canada, North America and Great Britain.
And certainly Sky News is to become Fox.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because they want to
Fox,
bring it all
on. Fox prevented Sky News, even though it's owned by Murdoch. Fox blocked Sky News' licensing in the United States.
That I didn't know.
And that's 10 years ago at least.
No, I didn't know that.
So even though they were owned by Murdoch,
yeah.
But then Murdoch's not the man, I mean, he's not the man he was, and also who owns Murdoch.
Exactly right. So, you know, that's their object, is one loudspeaker, one megaphone for all of the English-speaking world.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. Any one last words before we all depart?
No, just nice to see you, Miles. Looking good. Yeah. And very best of luck with your conference. Now, when is your conference?
My conference, 12th, 13th, and 14th of August.
Good.
And the website's back up at the moment.
Good.
Maybe we'll get a couple of tickets sold. Well, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
And may your God bless you. Is that right?
Well, I don't know, but...
Gog?
Good on you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pleasure.